Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, did you spend Inauguration Day glued to your TV set or carried it on your phone or whatever? Or did you just check in occasionally or maybe didn't see it at all? Whatever, as I was watching parts of it, I thought again, you know, what's the history? Why are all of these traditions set up? Are they traditions? What's changed? You know, it's interesting how the decisions are made as to what to do when. Well, so of course I went back to my trusty computer and went back to the history mode and saying, okay, what's this inauguration all about? And of course, the very first one was George Washington's inauguration. It was held on April 30th, 1789, on the balcony of New York City's Federal Hall. And Washington kissed the Bible used to swear him in. So using a Bible for swearing in has always been a part of the tradition. But it did change in 1853. Franklin Pierce decided he would place his left hand on the Bible. And now known, you know, where does that Bible come from? Well, it's known as the George Washington Inaugural Bible, was used originally by Washington, was borrowed from St. John's Lodge. Future presidents, including Warren G. Harding, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Jimmy Carter, and George H.W. Bush also used that very same Bible, which is still in the ownership of the Masonic Lodge. And of course, each president-elect can choose where that Bible will come from. And often it is a family Bible. You know, each president-elect and vice president-elect could have a story to tell you about the Bible. But we know about these presidents who borrowed the one that George Washington used. The inaugural address is, of course, a tradition. And interesting that George Washington's first address was quite long, but his second one, you know, there's an inauguration every term, was only 135 words. Pretty short. It is the shortest one in history. But he decided he didn't need to say a lot of the things that he'd said the first time around. And would you believe fireworks were a part of that tradition? They were brought by citizens then and lit up the sky to celebrate that first inauguration. There was an inaugural ball, and it was held on May 7th. But Martha Washington was too busy overseeing the Washington's move to New York to make that celebration. So a couple things you notice there that still are carried on. But remember, the date of the first inauguration was April 30th. John Adams was sworn into office on March 4th, 1797, and enjoyed a fairly understated inauguration. He was the first president to receive the oath from the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. In 1801, Thomas Jefferson was the first president to take the oath in the new capital city in Washington, D.C., and his inaugural speech was the first to be reprinted in a newspaper. He also set a new precedent by arranging the time of the inauguration via written correspondence with Congress. The standard time for the inauguration to begin, however, is now set at noon. Jefferson's second inauguration in 1805 included a grand inaugural parade. And during that parade, Jefferson walked from his boarding house to the Capitol building. James Madison's was the first official parade in 1809. And Madison was marched to the Capitol by a cavalry group from Georgetown. The official parade has since been a highlight of the inauguration day. One of those things that changed a bit how it was done this year. The parade became more inclusive over time. Abraham Lincoln's second inauguration in 1865 was the first time African Americans participated in the parade. And women joined in 1917 at the beginning of Woodrow Wilson's second term. Madison's first inauguration was also the first time the event was held in the hall of the House in the Capitol. And his ball was the first to include music by the U.S. Marine Band and the first to be held on the same day as the inauguration. So it seems like the traditions sort of built were changed a bit. Now, in history, do you remember the shortest presidency? Well, William Henry Harrison decided he was going to be, I guess in today's terms we'd call him macho, because it was very cold, there was a snowstorm, and he presented his inaugural address without hat, coat, or gloves, and he talked for nearly 2 hours, making his the longest inaugural speech in history. And after that long speech and some other things, you know, to being a long day, being going from one ball to another, he passed away only a month later on April 4th. So he took his life in his hands, and Mother Nature was the one who made the call. Andrew Johnson, when he was Lincoln's vice president, was told to have a strong drink at the president's inauguration because he wasn't feeling well. And he might have felt better once he did, but he also delivered a rambling and incoherent speech. When Ulysses S. Grant's inaugural ball was held on a cold night, the venue was unheated, so people didn't get to see all those party dresses. They all just had to wear their coats. And no person died, but they had, as a part of the decorations, cages of canaries, and the canaries froze. So it's just interesting, all of the things that go on. Now, we talked about whose inauguration and speeches and so on were first published. Well, Buchanan was the first president whose inauguration was photographed, while William McKinley's inauguration was the first to be recorded in a motion picture camera. And the first time the inauguration was broadcast over the radio was in 1925 at the start of Calvin Coolidge's inauguration. The television age, of course, then added on to all the people that could see it. And Harry S. Truman's inauguration address was the first to appear on TV in 1949. Of course, that was black and white. The first color broadcast was in 1961 with John F. Kennedy. And what comes next? Well, streaming on the internet and using all kinds of social media to broadcast the speech and all of the events that people can see all over the world. Well, remember we've been talking about the dates of inauguration starting out in April, and then for many years it was on March 4th. Well, it's a little earlier than that now, right? January 20th. Is the date that's set. And how was that set? Well, actually, it took an amendment to the Constitution to change to January 20th. And why was that? Well, it was sort of a have to, because you think about from April 30th, the first inauguration, when did Congress meet? Well, sometimes in between that inauguration date and when Congress met could have been more than a year. Not much happens with the president in that year when Congress hasn't met. And so, especially during FDR's first election, and this was during the time of the Depression, they said this is too long between the time when the president is inaugurated and when Congress meets. So the 20th Amendment was introduced, and it moving the inauguration date to January 20th. And some people think it should be even sooner than that. Well, because of our pandemic, there were lots of changes in all of the traditions. And I think we saw some things on TV that we had not previously seen. And maybe I just hadn't been paying attention, but I had never known about the gifts. And this time that was shown on TV where the House and Senate give gifts to the new president and vice president. And one of the really cool ones, I think, was they get the flag that was flown over the Capitol during the inauguration. That's pretty fast work. So there's lots of planning, lots of behind the scenes that we don't know about, but it carries on tradition, whether you agree with it or not. So until next time, here's the thought. Life will change without our permission. It's our attitude that will determine the ride.